Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. I was listening to some people earlier on talking about this morning. It does sound like you've had a very interesting morning so far, so hopefully we'll keep it interesting in the afternoon for you as well. I want to start by saying, and I'm going to give you a flavour of the issues in relation to older people and domestic violence. So I will just be giving you top-line stuff. I want to say to you at the start, we face three challenges when we're thinking about domestic violence and older people. The first is age prejudice, and we don't have the sorts of services that are focused towards the needs of older people, particularly towards the needs of older women, within our communities. And that is linked to a certain stereotypical perception of old women and old men, and this rather inane assumption that when people get their pension book, they stop being abusers. And we know that's not the case, and we know very clearly that the people will continue to be abusers right up until the point where they're no longer able physically or mentally to be. And I often hear people say to me, well, you know, an old man in his 70s or 80s couldn't possibly hurt his partner. Well, he may not be able to do it physically, but what he can't do physically, he will most definitely continue to do in other ways, in other forms. So The abuse of people in a domestic violence situation has no age boundaries, and yet we don't seem to have that way of thinking when it actually comes to what are the services people need and how do we best intervene to support older people in those situations. And one of the things I do want to leave you with today, and I'll say at the start of this and I'll say it at the end, and that is we have parallel government strategies towards the abuse of adults who are in vulnerable situations. We have a domestic violence strategy and a very clear understanding of the concepts, the dynamics, the psychology that's contained within domestic violence, why people can't always see themselves as victims, why they can't always escape from the environment they're in. And there's the psychology of being a victim. And that almost runs parallel and separate from adult safeguarding concepts and thinking. So it depends on what you get labelled as to whether or not you get the sorts of intervention and the sorts of support that you actually need. And I think it's interesting, and I'll talk to you about definitions just now, but I think it's interesting that we have rightly never tried to define a domestic violence victim. We've never tried to do that. We define domestic violence, we define the circumstances, but we've never tried to say, here's a typical victim of domestic violence. And yet we attempt to do that when we're talking about adult safeguarding. And we have struggled with the most unbelievable debates about do we call people vulnerable adults, do we call them adults at risk, when actually that's nothing to do with the issues. It's about the environment, the circumstances, and what other people actually do that means that we're dealing with abuse. And it's something to think about as to why that takes place and why that happens. The definition of elder abuse that I want to share with you is the one that my charity developed well before me. It's been adopted by the World Health Organization. It's used by a number of countries around the world. And you will see from it that it talks about single or repeated acts, and it has at its heart that bit that hasn't highlighted terribly well there, expectation of trust. So this is not about is somebody in a position of trust, and that's very often what we see in the media about care workers or whatever. This is about somebody who has established a relationship with the older person and then exploited that relationship to their advantage. And the reason I want to highlight that to you is when I then focus on what's the definition, and I've chose the ACPO definition here of domestic violence, you'll see the crossover is very, very comfortable here. The majority of what I deal with is abuse not by care workers. It is abuse by family members. It's abuse by people who have targeted an older person and sought to groom them to their own advantage. And that very much mixes and crosses over into all of our understandings of what domestic violence is. And yet, we will see a situation where because of somebody's age, it is not recognised that we're dealing with domestic violence. It will be called something else, and it will be given limited intervention and support as a consequence of being called something else. So the fact that we're actually dealing with a particular concept, a particular construct, a way of thinking by abusers is not translated across. And I think there are times when I get tired of saying in safeguarding, you need to learn from what's taking place in domestic violence. You need to learn and understand the psychology of abuse about why people cannot always escape from the situation. And yet we have very clear examples of where a very simplistic approach to a solution of a very complex family abuse situation is given to an elder person who, not surprisingly, says no, and the case is then either closed or put on to ongoing monitoring with no conclusion reached as a consequence. So somebody can go through their lives experiencing abuse, domestic violence, and yet when they get to their 70s or their 80s, no longer get the type of intervention that we would come to expect. Let me show you who we're dealing with here. And I'm mixing information here now from my own helpline and from a prevalence study that was done in 2007. What we know is that people become victims very much over the age of 70, over the age of 90. We're talking about very old people. We are not talking about all older people. About 8.6% of older people experience abuse in the communities next door to us. The vast majority of them don't. So what that tells us, it is not age I'm talking about here. I'm talking about age leads to dependency. Dependence leads to opportunity. People will exploit that opportunity or will continue to exploit that opportunity. So it's not age by itself that results in somebody being a victim of elder abuse. You shouldn't be surprised to know that I'm talking predominantly older women. Women live longer than men, first and foremost, so demographics affect that. But the reality is, a typical victim of elder abuse is an old, frail, dependent woman. Except, and it's an except I can't give you an explanation for, except in Scotland, where it is an older man who is the victim of elder abuse. Now, that came out of the 2007 study. I am desperate for more research to understand that, because that bucks the international trends and it bucks everything that I know as a charity about elder abuse. And yet it is older men, when we're talking about Scotland, who predominantly are victims of elder abuse. Isn't that unusual? I don't know the answer to that, so it's something I'm always looking for. When people talk elder abuse at the moment, because of the media work, they think care assistants, they think nurses, they think domiciliary care workers. The reality of elder abuse is it is first and foremost family members who abuse older people. Those graphs there, partners, other family members, first and foremost, and then the groomers, the next big list. I am not saying that there isn't a problem with domiciliary care or with care assistants in care homes, but that is not where the bulk of abuse of older people takes place. It is behind that closed family front door. That's where we see most abuse being perpetrated. And more often than not, it is family members who are doing it to the older person. And that's a clear message that we need out there much, much more strongly than we're actually seeing at the moment. To put that in context, when I look at what comes through to my helpline, 2/3 of it is about abuse in the family home. Now that is totally disproportionate in terms of what you see and you hear in the media. Yes, there is an issue with care homes. 23% referrals to me from care homes, where less than 5% of older people live, clearly, again, is a disproportionate referral rate. But nevertheless, we need to get people thinking abuse of old people happens in their own homes. That's the majority of where it occurs. And here's an interesting one from you from the prevalence study. And I say this interesting for a couple of reasons. This is the first time in 2007 that domestic violence of older people was actually recorded and recognised in any statistical basis whatsoever. And yet, you know, we could not get the academics who wrote the report to acknowledge that was domestic violence. In the whole of the prevalence study report and analysis, you will not see the reference to domestic violence. And yet that is what it was, and that is what it is that we're dealing with. And we need to name it and recognise it for what it is. Because older people continue to be abused. Those who fall out of the system or are never connected with the system will continue to be abused until they die, either natural deaths or deaths caused by that abuse. We need to get this issue firmly on the agenda and dealt with. And my view is we need to break down this silo approach that says that's domestic violence, that's adult abuse, and never shall the twain mix. Because that's where we stop talking about the people and we start talking about the systems that work for us. If I say to you, and I'm closing here, so I hope I'm well within my few minutes, when I look at what comes through to my helpline, at the reasons why people say to me that they cannot seek help, there's a familiarity here, isn't there, with what we know about victims of domestic violence. If you transfer the difficulty psychologically for an 80-year-old woman to tell people what her son is doing to her, beating her, stealing her, stealing from her or whatever. The dynamics of actually going to a statutory agency and saying, this is what my son is doing to me, is a tremendously difficult thing to do. One of the things we're working on is developing a buddy system of older people who we're training to understand elder abuse and understand how to support victims of elder abuse, because there's a greater chance of an older woman talking to somebody from their own background, their own history, than there's ever going to be them telling a, I hate to say it, a younger social worker who was not likely to understand. And that's one of the complexes we've got. People don't understand the history of the victims of elder abuse, and they try to deal with them as though it is today, and it isn't for them. You know, I'll leave you with this thought on and I'm going to generalise here. If I'm thinking of stealing from old women, I'm talking about a generation, and here I'm generalising, who never looked after the family finances. And when their partner died, we gave them bereavement counselling, but we never thought did they have the capability to carry on looking after the house and managing and coping. And that's how they end up being exploited, because somebody sees that. And somebody moves into that environment and takes that over. And our social workers, our safeguarding staff, and again, I am generalising because there's some great safeguarding people out there, they don't even think it. They think capability under the Mental Capacity Act, the capacity of somebody, but not their capability of actually knowing what to do and how to cope and how to protect themselves. And I want to leave you with this. A couple of examples for you. There was some really good research done in Scotland a number of years ago about domestic violence and older women. And this so stuck with me because it was the heading. For 39 years, I got on with it. And what this woman talked about in the report was how she went to one place, to another place, how she tried to get the support, and nobody listened. And, you know, saying I'm going to ring you back tomorrow doesn't help when you've got the crisis today. We've got some colleagues working in Women's Aid in Ballymena in Northern Ireland, and one of them does a brilliant talk with a large bowl of thread. And she starts out by handing out at random cards in the audience. And then she tells the story of this old woman who's trying to get help. And as she tells it, the cord goes from one person with the card to another. And by the end of the audience, it is crisscrossing all over the place. And at the end of it all, she still didn't get the support she needed. And yet that's the reality of what we're dealing with. People will resign themselves to the end result being, I can't get help, I just will get on with it myself. That makes sense, doesn't it? You can understand that. Look at this one, and this is this year. And this is what I meant about passive prejudice, the assumption that old people cannot hurt other old people. And Mary Russell's case stuck in my head this year so firmly, because wasn't this classic? And if that woman was maybe in 21 or 31, would she have necessarily have fallen straight through like that? People couldn't believe that because she was in her 80s that what was happening actually was domestic violence. And that strikes me as being something that we really do need to break and challenge and get rid of. People can be victims of domestic violence right up until the day they die in their 80s or 90s, and we need to think like that if we want to stop people. There's an issue that we talk about when we're thinking about different approaches. And we give people a classic, and it's an older person's classic, of an older man who is hurting his partner. And his answer is, when he's challenged, I can't cope, I'm overwhelmed. It's such a challenge looking after. It's so difficult to do it. It only happened once and I'll never do it again. And the response is that he gets day centre support and he's seen as the victim himself and he's supported. And when we transpose that to the voice and the words of a 20-year-old man, it's more likely to be seen as the excuses that people give out to justify why they're doing what they're doing. And he's not seen as a victim. He's seen as a calculated, scheming perpetrator. Now, why do we have a different approach? I'll close you with this one, because this is, and it's not on screen here, but this is relevant to us. I said to you at the start we have parallel government strategies. Here's an example. Right at this moment, we've got Lynn Featherstone, who is the Liberal Democrat minister in the Home Office, rightly, in my view, promoting the concept of domestic violence protection notices and protection orders, recognising the need that there are times when you have to intervene, whether or not the victim says they want to, in order to make sure that they're safe and they're protected. And Lynn Featherstone is rightly promoting this as positive action, a positive recognition of the need for the state at times to recognise the psychology of what's happening and intervene. Make sense? And they have been highly successful, the pilot projects. At the exact same moment, we have the Liberal Democrat Minister Paul Burstow under adult safeguarding saying the very same thing is one step too far and it's the nanny state and we couldn't possibly do that with adults. And I'm sitting very often thinking, so if that 60-year-old or 70-year-old or 80-year-old is unlucky enough to have triggered adult safeguarding, she won't get that intervention. But if she's lucky enough and people use the right words and she gets in under domestic violence, she will. Does that make sense? That's my closing comment to you. We need some sense and some logic into this that recognises adults can be vulnerable. And let's stop siloing this approach. The knowledge that we've got in one area needs transposing into another. And people need to learn off each other. Otherwise, victims go straight through the middle. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from PolicyReview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.